in a series of broadcasts and going through the subject of the book of Revelation, we have covered all the way from the first chapter, verse by verse, now clear through the 12th chapter, ready to begin the 13th chapter about this mysterious many-headed beast with seven heads and 10 horns who had a deadly wound that was healed. And all the world wondered after this beast, and the dragon gave him his authority. Now, what is this beast? You've heard, perhaps, if you've gone to church very much, especially any kind of a church that has to do with biblical prophecy, if you've read very much in the way of things like the mark of the beast or the number of the beast or about the beast of Revelation 13 and 17. And people have come up with all sorts of ideas about what this beast means. Some of them think it's a computer away somewhere in Europe. Some of them think that maybe it was Hitler's juggernaut in World War II. Some of them think maybe it's General Motors or Ford. I don't know. There are all kinds of ideas about what these biblical beasts are supposed to be and all the mysterious symbolism of the book of Revelation. Well, let's see what it says, what it doesn't say, and let's understand as we let the Bible compare with the Bible and tell us exactly what God's Word means. He says in chapter 13, verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea. This is John, in vision, projected forward as if he is in the happenings of the time called the tribulation and the day of the Lord. The latter time, the time that any eschatologist or biblical prophecy student knows is just ahead of us right now in world conditions. He said, I saw a beast, a creature. Now, if you had seen something like this, like in a science fiction movie, it might appear to be a dragon-like sea serpent, and each head different, and 10 horns scattered among them. It would be very hard to even get an artist to draw what it was he actually saw, but he saw some weird kind of a vision, like a nightmarish creature coming out of the sea. And he tried to describe it. He said, I saw a beast, a creature, rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, what is the name of blasphemy? Well, in the first place, you blaspheme when you take the name of God in vain. And the greatest blasphemy of all is to take God's qualities, God's character, and God's name, and try to apply it to a man. God's Word says that we are like worms, that we're just like animals, in a sense, in His sight. It says, Thou worm, Jacob, and I'm not a man, but a worm, prayed David, in being humble before God. The Bible says very clearly that God's name alone is exalted. He says, let God be true, though every man be found a liar. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is one thing you can always guarantee, and I don't care what kind of robes a man is wearing, I don't care what kind of suit he's wearing, or how he looks, or how he talks, or all of the pomp and ceremony that may accompany some public appearance of some great would-be religious leader. There's one thing you know about him. He has to go through the normal daily processes just like you do. He's got to go through the same thing in the morning, and if his morning ablutions and necessities, whether he's got indoor or outdoor facilities, he's just a human being, just like you are. Never kid yourself. We're all the same. Now, without being crass about it, that's enough. Just to say, we're all the same. We all bleed when we cut ourselves accidentally. We breathe the same air. We have the same type of bacteria doing horrible things to our food in there. We are human beings. Now, the Bible very clearly says, holy and reverend is his name. You know, people ask me from time to time, well, how do you like to be called? Do you like to be called, reverend? And if I'll go to perform a funeral at somebody's request or something of this nature, they'll try to print on a little card, reverend Armstrong. And I'll say, no way, are you kidding? Of course not. Now, you know, Mr. is not really a title. I mean, we don't really think of it as being a title, like you achieve that. Usually the first time a person appears in public as a businessman in a suit and a tie, people are quite willing to call him Mr., so you don't really have to go to college to earn that. So I tell people, well, Mr.'s fine, you know, but Garner Ted's fine, too, if you're a little hung up over Mr., if you think that's a title. But people have asked me time and again, oh, you mean you're not called Reverend? And I say, well, of course not. Only God is reverend. I said the word reverend means to be reverenced or to hold in awe and, in a sense, to worship the person. No human being can be titled reverend because human beings are not to be reverenced. It's just that simple. The Bible says holy and reverend is his, meaning God's, name. Now, what would be, then, on these horns, on the heads of this weird-looking beast, this creature? Names of blasphemy. They would be the names that should belong to God. Qualities, attributes of God's Holy Spirit, especially the word holy. Now, no man is holy. God is holy. Men are maybe full of flaws and holes like a Swiss cheese, and we have our little jokes about holy socks, you know, with a hole in them, but men are not holy. Now, notice in verse 2, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Now you're dealing with the whole overall picture of the main part of the body of the beast. The beast in general, as he first looked at it, was like a leopard. And he said, and the feet were as the feet of a bear. So now you get down into some of the extremities. The overall body was like the tawny, spotted body of a lithesome, very powerful cat, a leopard, like one might find in Africa. The feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. So it was a leopard, but with a lion's great head and mouth. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, we don't need to wonder what it means, because we have right in the ninth verse of the preceding chapter, the dragon was cast out, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. So this is a satanic organization having seven heads, and those heads always stood for government. And the government or the governor, the leader, the king, whatever the despotic leader might have been, whether a Caesar or a king or an emperor, stood for the government. So the governor and the government were one and the same thing. The head, as we read in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, it is thou, O king, and the king and the kingdom were synonymous. So when Daniel revealed the meaning of that great vision to King Nebuchadnezzar, the four succeeding world-ruling empires, and that's what we're dealing with right here, as we will see, four constituent parts, each one a portion of that animal, which represented in the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, the beasts that were the symbol of the four successive world-ruling empires of the past, beginning with ancient Babylon, that was the lion, with Persia, that was the bear, with Greco-Macedonia, which was the leopard, and finally putting all three of them together into one great beast and letting Satan, the devil as it is, give it the power. You have the ancient Roman Empire, which embodies all the strongest characteristics of the predecessors. Now notice that. Because when you think of a leopard, you don't think of a leopard as having great powerful feet or great powerful jaws. You think of the body. The leopard is a very sinewy, very lissome, and a very strong and a very graceful animal. But the bear, we think of the feet of a bear as being the most powerful weapons with which you can batter down a cabin door or disembowel a huge ox and certainly decapitate a man. A giant grizzly or a brown bear or Kodiak or one of the great bears of the polar ice cap, the white polar bears. I've seen one stuffed and stood beside it, and the thing towered over 7 feet, I guess 8 feet plus. Giant thing to look at and huge claws, and they can do great damage with their feet. The mouth of the lion, obviously, among all of the cat family, the mouth has this, the lion rather, has this gigantic head, this huge mouth with these huge teeth. So, the constituent parts of this beast we see, the first beast of Revelation 13, embodies all the most powerful parts of the first three of the four beasts of Daniel, the seventh chapter. So when you put Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 and 17 together, you get a picture of what is this beast. Now, it's obviously the ancient Roman system, which eventually became the so-called Holy Roman Empire. The beast was like a leopard, feet as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, or Satan, gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death. Now, that deadly wound, it was called, came at a time when ancient Roman government finally collapsed and Rome was virtually destroyed. It was certainly besieged and overcome in 476 A.D. It was not until 554 A.D. that General Belisarius began to overthrow the yoke of some of the Hun and Germanic conquerors and restored that Roman government, the Holy Roman government, once again. In the meantime, The papal power in the Vatican was not really touched by the interlopers who occupied Rome and the northern provinces of the Po River Valley in Italy. It says in verse 3, I saw one of his heads, that's one of the successive seven governments representing this end-time fourth beast of Daniel 7, which was to have seven successive revivals or resurrections on down through history until the time in which we live today. One of those heads was wounded in 476. The deadly wound was healed in 554. And we'll notice a little later on that power was given for him to continue. In verse 5 it says, 40 and 2 months, or time, times, and half a time. Now, what does that mean? What is the 40 and 2 months? What is the time, times, and half a time? What about the 1,260 years? We're going to see the meaning of a year in biblical prophecy, the day for a year, and how the Bible deals with biblical symbolism next time.